Couples Talk. Tonight's topic is, does having great chemistry with an individual give you enough reason to marry them? So we want to thank everybody for listening and want to find out how everybody's week was. It's almost over. It's Thursday. Honey, how was your day?
Busy, but I made it through.
Busy, busy. Yeah, I got a few things accomplished today. So again, this is Couples Talk, where me and my husband talk about communication and relationships. This is our 7th show. Wow, we've been 7. Pretty good, huh? So, again, the question was, does having great chemistry with an individual give you enough reason to marry them? Do you marry for math, science, or history? We'll find out. Tune in.
I know you had a lot of love too.
everybody. We're back. We're with Couple Talk, where tonight's topic is, does having great chemistry with an individual give you enough reason to marry them? So, do you marry for chemistry, math, science, or history? Do you marry for a destiny and a purpose? If that person does not propel into your purpose or destiny, are they not your partner? So we want to know what you think. How do you feel about your partner? And did you marry for chemistry? So for me, I feel like some people do marry for chemistry. It just depends on what you are attracted to. For my situation, I believe I would say I married for history. The reason why I say history is because I knew of my husband, but we weren't in an actual relationship. So how we got together was partially on a business relationship. And then from there, it was like a trust developed as a friend, but still nothing intimate. It was just strictly platonic, you know. And then at the most vulnerable part of my life, he stepped in, you know, where he saw I needed someone, not necessarily him, but I needed someone the most. So with me, that gave me all the chemistry I needed. You know, what you think, honey?
So I agree with you. So we met in 1989. I lived upstairs from where you were living on Mac Road, not too far from my home now.
Right.
And so, like she said, you know, we started this thing as a business venture. You know, she had just wrote a book or two, and I was promoting shows on the Delta King. And make a long story short, you know, I invited her down to the Delta King to have her books out and display just as a friend, not trying to do nothing extra, you know. But I seen that she had a positive attitude in what she was trying to do, and I just wanted to be a helpmate to her. From then, she called me one time saying she needed a carpet cleaned, and would I come clean her carpets? And I went over there, and I must have did a wonderful job because she had me all on the internet on how clean I had them carpets, right? And so the thing I loved about my wife before we even started even talking about, you know, dating or speaking to each other, that wasn't a part of our relationship. What got me is when I was able to go and service her carpets, she allowed me to stay in her home while she would go. And I told her, I said, you know, you trusting me in your home and made my heart flutter, you know. And so everyone wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be trusted, you know. And for me, if you trust me, that says a lot about you towards me. And so with that, I opened my heart to my wife. She was just a friend at that time, you know. And so we talked a couple of times. One time she blew me back, right? Because, you know, she was tense one time. Okay.
No, we don't need to share that story. So, anyway. But back to 1989. Do you think the chemistry, if we would have hooked up then, do you think it would have been through chemistry? Because when you saw me, what did you see?
I seen a beautiful black woman striving to be the best she can be.
How you figure that?
Because you was on your own. So, see, back in them days, you know, you having your own place, your own ride, you know. You had a baby you was taking care of. I seen you just making things happen,
okay.
Right? And from that perspective, I gave you a thumbs up, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they procrastinate a lot. And so I never seen you procrastinate. All the times I used to see you when I come out my house, you know. And so here you go.
Oh, and then when I saw you, so I would say it was chemistry too, because you caught my eye. And then I offered you a ride, so that was the kindness of my heart too. So anyway, back to the topic. So I try to give everybody a chance to think about what we're talking about. So we're going to see if anyone wants to come in and chime in. So it's like, do you marry for math, science, history? You know, do you marry for chemistry? What's your take on that? Let's see if anybody wants to come in. Let me look and see. Who's the 256?
I don't know. We'll find out now.
Caller 256.
Hello, that's you.
You're there. Are you there? Do you want to comment? Don't be shy.
Okay.
We'll
for that.
Okay. So let's see here. I'm going to read a few things about chemistry. So chemistry is simply touching your mind and setting your body on fire. What happens when the fire fizzles? Is it also possible to have chemistry with more than one person at the same time? So what does that mean to you? Having chemistry with more than one person, or what happens when it fizzles out? So with us, babe, what do you feel about the chemistry with us?
So when you say chemistry, chemistry is a making of, the making of. Our chemistry, it needs work sometimes. I'm just going to be honest with you. It needs work sometimes, basically because, you know, we are strong-headed, for one, and so sometimes the chemistry is not, you know, equal, what they say, equally yoked, and so sometimes I have to simmer down. Sometimes I have to pick it up. You know, and to get that thing right, you know, to get that thing right. And so it's all about one wanting to get that chemistry balance, you know, because in a relationship, you do have to find balance. And so that's what I say.
So, honey, my chemistry thought is the attraction. When I think of chemistry, no, I'm saying you have your opinion. That's good. I'm just saying mine. So I feel like, why are you making that face?
Because I'm listening to you.
Listen. Okay. So my thing with chemistry, this is a transparent show, remember? Okay.
Honey.
All right. So my take on chemistry is, like you said, when it fizzles out. So fizzle meaning passion, compassion, the attraction, physical attraction. That's what I think of when I think of chemistry. So we have different views on chemistry. But your view is good, too. I wasn't aware of that type. You know what I mean?
I hear you. So you had to speak to the crowd.
Yeah, they're listening to us talk. So, so with that, it's like with chemistry, when speaking of my question, attraction, you know. So I think for me, I've learned that type of chemistry has to mature. Because I think in your younger days, you think of being visual with chemistry. But now, as you mature, I feel like with us, you know, we do have a purpose and a destiny, so that's our chemistry, like you were saying. I feel that too, you know. But initially, when I thought of chemistry, I thought of, you know, visual attraction. Like, oh, he looks good, or she looks good, or do we vibe, you know. So as far as vibing, we're going into our second year. Coming up on our second year of marriage, right?
Yes.
Okay, so vibing is taking a minute. In the first year, it took a minute.
Right.
So now, I think the last 6 months being, you know, in the house with the COVID has kind of helped us. You know, you learn my ways, I learn your ways. So I think our chemistry is maturing to a different level. My mind is maturing to a different level, you know.
Okay, honey. And so, call us. The number's 347-205-9722. That's 347-205-9722. It's couples talk where my wife and I talk about communication in relationships. And so let me just take a sidebar for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, they like eye candy. And I don't know if that's a part of chemistry on some people's level, but, you know, when you just going for looks, or are you trying to go for money, or are you trying to go for a multi, just for any reason, but your heart saying that I love this person, I want to be with this person, and that I want to share with this person. If you have any other motives, that eye candy might not be eye candy after 10 years. Things happen in 10 years, you know. The money might be gone in 10 years. Are you still willing to stay and be the best you can be at that moment as well? So when you in a relationship, you just, you know, you have to feel it in your heart. Your body has to tingle when you see your spouse. You have to, you know, it's got to make you want to be where you're at.
Does that feel like that?
Yes. Yes, I tell you. So my wife, since you asked me, so my wife, I'm not a pretender. I don't do no faking or no frauding, you know. I'm not one that, you know, is going to act like I'm in love and be doing this and that and the other, and then behind my wife back doing something else. So my wife can pick up my phone any day, morning, noon, or night. She can look at my phone. Matter of fact, she holds my phone more than I hold it. There's no lock on my phone. She, you know, them are trust. I don't want to say them are things that shows her that I trust her. You know, other people, when they hide their phone and get mad at you going through their phone, there's some issues in there. And so I try to make sure my wife know that there's no issue here. There's no issue. There's no issue on the money that we spend. There's no issue. A lot of people make money an issue. And so when we're talking about being real in a relationship, we have to be mindful that the little things mean a lot. You know, a lot of people try to do big things that's over the wall and out of bounds and out the box. And, you know, and they're not homing in on the little things that really matter in a relationship. And so I look at the little things. I make sure that the little things are tucked away, kept clean, and respected, you know, because all that big stuff, you know, it's hard to keep up with that big stuff. And I try to tell people, you know, you're doing it big, but, man, it's hard to keep up with it like that. So I just give my wife the real respect that she deserves. Like I say, I'm a polite brother that will never cuss my woman. You know, I might not open every door for her because she get on me about that. Well, you ain't going to come around here and get the dough. You know, there's certain things I'm still working on, but I get the dough a few times, you know. I wash the dishes a few times. I cook a few times, you know.
You can't cook.
she said, I can't cook.
Mm-mm, you stopped cooking last year. Don't play. So then, again, that goes to say what happens when things don't add up, and that's the math part of the lesson. So to me, like you were saying, you're learning this and that, and you try to tuck the little things away that you feel that matters.
So then what about when your spouse feels like, well, you're not paying attention to what I think matters or how I feel? Because there's some instances where, you know, us as women, we want our man to pay attention to other little things. Like, it shouldn't be a time where you don't notice, you know, like, well, you always going to notice my hair, period, because that's on top of my head. But, like, you know, when I get my feet done or something, do you notice that?
Yes, I do.
Because I forgot you do rub every night. So, okay, scratch that one. But, okay, so what about, I don't know, what about motivating your spouse or encouraging your spouse? You know, that's some things, like, when you're trying to vibe together, are you motivating and encouraging each other to be the best person for each other? Like, I want to be the best person for me, but I also want to be the best person for you, you know, and vice versa. I want you to encourage me, you know, while we encourage each other. So with that, it's like, do you marry based on that type of chemistry? Is that person in your destiny, in your purpose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel that when you brought me into your life, did you look at me, because you watched from afar, you know, a few years. We didn't know each other, I don't think, like that. Because I didn't remember you at first. But, like, did you see me being an asset or an addition to your life? Or after we got married, did you think, like, okay, this is a little bit more than what I bargained for?
So to be truthful?
Yeah, truthful.
Yeah, so to be truthful. Because
everybody knows I'm over the top.
So to be truthful, it was a bite off the apple, and it was a big bite, and it was a lot to take in, right? Because I don't have any children, and so I had to first get that part together, you know, being that, you know, I'm in my 50s and I'm trying to raise a young man. Even though I do mentoring, them kids go home, right? And so them kids go home, and they, you know, they listen to what is being taught, or the lessons that they want to learn. Learn from me, whether it's fishing or the healing circle, but them kids go home. So it was, how do I receive this lady and her child, you know? And then you have to watch, you know, I patiently watch how you two vibe, you know? And I was upset how my son talked back to his mom, right? And so it just took me all out of everything. And I told him that. I said, hey, man, I don't, that's one thing I'm not going to go with. I'm not going with that. And so it took a long time for us to put that together, get that together. And we still working on it. We still have a lot of work to do. And so for me not having any children, at all, and to marry my wife and then, you know, have that part, it kind of like took a little bit from me. And then she was like, well, you mentor all the other kids and you do all this for them other kids, but she failed to realize them kids go home. See, this one is in the home. And so, you know, we had to have a few talks, you know, and we're working with our talks. Right now we got a very respectful relationship, me and Caleb. He really respects me, you know. He's still Caleb, and that's what we're working with.
Okay. So, yeah, that was a good point. Yeah, that was an excellent point. So then where the science comes in, that it says, what happens when you continuously question your decision to be in the relationship? Okay.
That's you.
You pointed at me.
That's you.
Well, that's because I'm still growing and knowing and trying to figure out how not to go off my emotions. You know what I'm saying? So in my history of relationships, that didn't work too well. So I know I was blessed to have you in my life. And so I have to still, I still battle with, you know, is this what I'm supposed to do? Or, you know, because you're teaching me patience. That's one thing I admire about you. You have a lot of patience, and you do talk to me with, you know, the utmost respect, you know. If you do get upset, you kind of just say, you know, I don't want to talk about it right now. And then I know to let you just go, you know, before I'd be like, why, where, when, what, you know. So now I know not to pressure you. And that's teaching me to listen and watch more than talk and react. You know what I'm saying? So with that, to me, that's why it seems like I question my decision making about a marriage, because I've never been in a real, you know, relationship and marriage where it's a commitment. You know what I mean? So with me, I just second guess my decisions based on my emotions, because sometimes, you know, I feel like some days we don't connect. But that should be, I heard that's in all marriages. You're not going to have happy days every day. But I'm looking at, well, this day I feel bad. Yesterday we was happy. You know, now we back. I ain't talking to him right now. Or, you know, you quiet today. Did I do something? You know, so I just have to learn the process. So that's about it for, you know, a lot of marriages. So I'm learning that. You know, it's a process. I'm learning to be patient, and I don't want to keep throwing up, you know, well, why we get married, you know, if something doesn't go right or I feel like you don't answer my question the way I feel it should be answered, or, you know, just like even spending time. So with COVID here, we can't really go anywhere, but I'm trying to rush a connection between us that is probably going to be a process, because I don't know if you all in listening land knew that, but, you know, we knew each other or of each other, but we were sent on our own terrible destinies and journeys, you know, till we were brought back together. So we didn't really have time to date and court and do all that stuff. So kind of, you know, how they say you're in a honeymoon stage, but I don't feel the honeymoon because of COVID, but at the same time, this has given us a time to get to know each other. So sometimes I want to go out and, you know, kind of vibe with my husband, but he likes to go fishing. So we're not going to go there because I don't like fish. I'm allergic. Nothing against you, though, because I want you to enjoy, be happy, have peace. So with that being said,
ask about the callers. Now, we got more people that need to be talking about their situation. It's couples talk. On a Thursday night where me and my wife, we sit here and we vibe together on the radio and we try to get our listeners to chime in. So if you want to chime in, hit the number one. Hit the number one. That's going to let me know that you would like to chime in with us. Other than that, I got one song and then we'll be right back.
And the number is to call in.
347-205-9722. That's 347-205-9722. It's the Wise Words of One Gone Show, but it's Couples Talk, y'all.
Pull up at the mall, couldn't find a place to park. Threw my keys to the valet.
Hand that for me.
I was only about to hang, wasn't looking for a thing. I was just about to bounce. And then I saw Miss Lady. Then I said to myself, bags in her hand, right in front of Macy's.
That's where all the pretty girls hang.
Then I saw her at the food court, sipping lemonade, conversating on her cell phone, looking so amazing.
And I
Take her to the cookout. Yeah, hug on, hey. Take her to my mama's house. If she need a hair done,
if my cousin can,
I'll treat her like a queen. Give her everything.
She will be my girl till we old and gray.
And I knew it from the moment that I saw her lovely, lovely. Some of your time.
Okay, we're back with the couples talk, and tonight's topic was, does having great chemistry with an individual give you enough reason to marry them? And we talked about if the chemistry fizzles, you know, or if things aren't adding up, so that would be science and math. And then what happens when you continuously question your decision. So that was on me a little bit. So next would be like for the history part. What happens when they continue to do same old habits over and over again that maybe you two don't agree on, or maybe even same old hurtful things over and over again. You know, they always say, depending on the age, some men or some single women are set in their ways because either the man, you know, he's older, so, you know, men are more stubborn. But then us as women, you know, if we've been single a long time, then, yeah, we're stuck in our independent woman mode. And so we have to learn how to let go of that and allow a man to lead. And I would feel more comfortable knowing that my husband is a godly man and trust him to lead versus, you know, not knowing and letting another type of guy lead, you know, because we never want to be disrespected, and we've all been there, so we kind of keep our guards up for that. So when God does send us our mate that we feel was really given to us as a blessing, it's a process to let those guards down. And so I could say, you know, with you, babe, this is like the first time ever that I felt so relaxed and so at peace, you know, to where I can somewhat let my guard down. I know I have a couple habits because, you know, you're better with finances than I am, so I'm kind of spoiled in that area. But as far as overall picture, you know, I'm at peace with my marriage, with us, you know, letting you lead. I'm learning to be patient by watching you. So in that aspect. But then going back to, you know, questioning your decision-making in a relationship, you know, because sometimes I've witnessed a few couples who, you know, their mate is just stuck in their ways, and they don't know, is that a deal breaker? You know, is it a deal breaker that you're just so stubborn, you know, that you just will not change, or if you're having differences and you keep constantly, like every
other day or every other week you're arguing about the same thing, you know, what does that mean to you? You know, is that a deal breaker to say, well, maybe we need to separate? I always suggest counseling, you know, because you never want to interfere or give advice to a married couple, you know, and encourage them to leave, because God can fix anything. But at the same time, we don't want to endure, us as women, we don't want to endure physical, verbal, or emotional abuse. So, you know, that's a big decision. So with the history part, you know, I feel, you know, that's a sticky subject, you know, and a lot of people with this COVID and everything, like we see on the news, the divorce rate was up and the domestic violence rate was up, you know. So, you know, in a sense, is this an eye-opener for some couples? You know, I don't know what you guys are thinking out there in, you know, in the listening world, but, you know, it is something to think about, you know, evaluate each other, evaluate your marriage, evaluate, not saying that, oh, I wish I was in another circumstance as far as in fantasy world, you know, because you don't ever think, you don't want to think the grass is greener on the other side, because it's not. The grass is greener wherever you water it. I heard that before. So, but that's a true statement. So with me, you know, we're just 2 years in. You know, we got a few more years, a lot of years, if God gives us to, you know, gives it to us to learn and grow together. So that should be your goal, your marriage goal, to grow together. So then that backs it up again. Are you growing together in your marriage? Or are you just idle, you know, are you just there for other marriages that are, you know, been together longer than us? Like, say you're at your 10-year mark. Because I've noticed a lot of couples at a 10-year mark, you know, they've outgrown each other and they do decide to split. And then the second go around is bliss. You know, it might be unfortunate, but I've seen that. So I think that's where sometimes we as couples look at other couples or other situations and say, like, well, you know, that is a big question. What is my deal breaker? So you have any thoughts about that?
Not really. I'm listening on that.
Yeah.
Soak that in.
Right. Because, I mean, it's a tough thing, because, you know, I'm learning marriage isn't easy, and they do say that. So you make it a little bit easier, but when we get into our own heads, I think we make it difficult, you know, being undecisive or, you know, because in the beginning, you know, just to be transparent and honest, it was like in the beginning when you're dating or you want to impress the other person, you might say or say like, oh, yeah, I like to do this, I like to do that, and in all actuality, you don't. You know what I'm saying? So when we talk for those 30 days, you know, I was like, oh, this is going to be cool, because we was laughing and, you know, doing, we would just stay on the phone all day, every day. I mean, like, we rode to work together. We were at work together. We rode home together. I listened to your other show every night till you went off, and then we talked more hours, you know. So it was like we did a connection in just those 30 days over the phone. And then it was like, okay, I'm coming to get you. Because I was in Atlanta, so you came and got me and my son. And that was just, to me, the most special thing that anyone has ever done for me. And I think that's why I didn't hesitate or question, you know, to say, yep, I'll marry you, you know. But then, like you said, when we got together, it ended up being a lot, you know, because it might not have been questions that we asked that we should have asked at first. We thought we covered everything, you know, the superficial stuff, but maybe not the internal stuff. But, you know, through the first year, we worked out the kinks. So, you know, it'll keep coming, keep thriving. So I just want to encourage all the other couples, you know, read God's word. You know, that's another thing. You can't do anything without God.
Amen.
And I know that, you know, I pray every morning and try to ask all kind of questions to God. And I'm hoping that everyone is developing a real relationship with him. You know, talk to him like he's your best friend, because
he is your best friend.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only one that provides everything. And we're actually, you know, we might not have thought of it years ago. We thought we were living to buy a house, to get a certain car, to have a certain number of children and be married. But technically, life is you live to die.
That's it.
I don't know if your grandma's told you that, but you live to die, and we're dying, you know, to see Jesus. So I just want to throw that nugget in there, because, you know, you can't, we aren't anything without the Lord. And yeah, that's a period on that one.
So you did a lot of talking then.
I know, right?
Took over the mic. Hey, so I appreciate what my wife said. I had to listen real good on that one. I didn't want to break her stride, because when she opens up like that, it's beautiful to me. It helps me to understand her even more. Like she said, you know, we talked on the phone. I was here in Sac. She was in Atlanta. Every day we talk. I say out of the 24 hours, we'd be on the phone 18 of them. I'm working, she working, we still talking. I'm in the bed, she in the bed, we still talking. And so it was a situation that, you know, I was entrusted with what she gave me. She gave me freedom in her home. I mean, she would leave her home here when she was in Sacramento. Like I said, I was doing her carpet. And, you know, she'd say, well, you know, there's some food in there. Go on and get you something to eat. And, you know, with something like that, it made me feel we wasn't even boyfriend or girlfriend. We was just friends, y'all, for the first, I think that was about 2 years, huh? Because I seen you in the park at Victoria's.
Yeah. The Southside.
Yeah, Southside Park, where you had your books and I was DJing. I said, hey, I know you. Are you Angela? You said, yeah, who is she? She even know who I was, y'all. She even know who I was, because she was in Atlanta all them years. And, you know, we went our separate ways after 89. I seen her maybe twice in 89, and then I never seen her again. Only from upstairs, you know, I'd see her every other day. But I'm talking about, as far as being in her face and saying something, I've seen her twice. And one time she gave me a ride. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One time my Mustang broke down. I was trying to get to work. And she said, hey, you want a ride? I said, yeah. And so when I got out the car, I got a little kiss at that time. You remember that?
On the cheek.
Did you remember that,
yeah,
though?
I
don't
that.
Care where it was. You gave me a kiss, right?
Because you asked me, could you take me out to dinner? So I was just kind of sealing that deal.
Okay. Well, she was sealing the deal, y'all. And that was in 89, right? And so let me see. It had to have been in the 2015.
That was
2016.
Because
yeah.
I left 2017.
Okay, so we hooked up, just like I said, doing some work together. I was promoting on the Delta King. Me and Sean Raper doing shows, and Angela was doing her book signings all around, underground and everywhere, right? And so I said, well, won't you come aboard and set up your little booth and let's see what we can do. And so we did that, and we vibed, you know, just good friendship. You know, she called me every now and then. I call her every now and then, and that was it. Then she called me one time and said, hey, I'm finna get up out of here. Come get the carpet cleaner.
Right. Yeah, because I had bought it, and I thought it was an expensive vacuum, and it was $400 or something like that. And then it turned out to be a pet, you know, pet whatever, carpet cleaner. So, and I knew, you know, he cleaned carpets, so I was like, well, I'll gift him that, and I left. So, you know, that's our story, you know, and
we're sticking to it.
Right. So yeah, so when we talked for those 30 days, that just came about because I wanted him to do some paperwork for me. So with that paperwork, we met and my father passed. So that's what brought me back to Sacramento for that moment, for his memorial. And then I remembered, oh, I was supposed to have a meeting with him. So during that time, I expressed, you know, my emotions and how I was feeling. So I believe I kind of touched him on that aspect. And we kept talking, you know, for those 30 days when I went back to Atlanta. And, yeah, so that's how that story goes. And so here we are. And I felt that during this couples talk, it would help us to grow and also listen to other couples' situations, ups and downs that they've been through. They've, of course, been married longer than us. So, you know, I just thought it'd be a good thing to do. And it really has helped our relationship because my husband has come out of his shell. It's taught me to see his point of view in some things and also taught him on seeing my point of view because, you know, when you know how it goes, when your husband, when he hears it from you, he's going to need a co-signer. He's going to need someone else to validate what you said, and then he might believe it. So that's just how men are, and it's cool. So he's got the opportunity to listen to other couples' point of view, so it kind of opens his eyes about it. And another thing, too, with I don't know if you guys seen Fantasia's Tuesday Taylor talk. Oh, they're awesome. I love Fantasia. So that's another, you know, aspect to look at, you know, as far as couples and everything, because they really come a long way as well. So it's all in good faith, and we just want to share and learn and bounce off each other because, you know, black love is the best love, you know, and we have to love each other a little bit more, you know, even in friendships. You know, it's like I posted today, you know, Proverbs 17:17 was like, you know, a friend is born for adversity. We need our friends in our time of trouble. You know, God wants us to seek him, but we also need friends. And I've seen too many times this year that, you know, if you disagree with something or it was a misunderstanding or miscommunication, then all of a sudden you ghosted or you blocked or, you know, it's like, then that's immature to me, you know. And even the Bible says that, you know, that's an immature level of a Christian, you know, because if you're walking in hate, if you're walking in strife, like causing confusion, and if you're even unforgiving, you know, that's being immature because you can forgive, like they say, I'll forgive you, but I ain't going to forget. But technically, you should forget it. You should forgive, forget it, and move on. Still extend love to that person. But I know sometimes if we're really hurt, you don't feel comfortable in that friendship anymore. And that's okay. But as long as it's a mutual understanding in the end that, okay, I felt this way when you said this or, you know, you offended me, let the person have a chance to explain, you know, because it may have been a misunderstanding. And then, therefore, you can resolve it and then move on from there. If you feel, like I said, you're not comfortable kicking it anymore, then don't kick it. You know, we have our spouses. As we've grown, you know, your circle should be small anyway. And like Maya Angelou said, you know, when a person shows you who they are, believe them. You know, it's unfortunate that it might take 20 years and then something happens and you guys aren't speaking anymore. You know, that's hurtful, you know, but you just have to bless them and keep it pushing, you know.
I agree with you on that one there. And so the number is 347-205-9722. That's 347-205-9722. I see LPs in here. I see Aunt Lily's in here. Can you name out them other numbers? Give them a shout out.
So we have we shouting out to Aisha Ransom with Suggested Eyewear. She's ear hustling. And we also got our favorite loving couple, Tanya and Alton. They're ear hustling too, so we thank you guys for listening. So we got a song for you, so hold tight.
Hold tight. It is the Wise Words with One Gone Show. It is Couples Talk on Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, you got that. Damn, it's too good. I don't deserve it, kind of love.
desire, I guess, to come out because she wants the best from me, right? And I'm giving the best, but I'm slowly coming out by giving, you know. And one thing I know, and two things for sure, I don't want to put that out there because my wife might fly off that bed.
No, so we're coming to the end of the show, but a lot of people like to listen, like, no, don't stop yet. So I have one last question, though, while we're talking about chemistry, because when we're playing a song for you guys, we're also connecting, you know, like we haven't talked all day because he's busy, I'm busy, or I'm doing something on the computer and he's at work. So this is our time to connect while we're on the air. So while you're listening to a song, we're over here talking, you know, about how we really feel. So I was letting him know that, you know, this is helping us and that maybe it's time that I mature in my ways as far as knowing that chemistry comes in different levels. And as you mature, you know, it's different levels to that. So when I say that, you know, I propose a question in the marriage, like, well, what if one spouse has a higher sex drive than the other? Okay, is that a problem? Is that a deal breaker? Because my husband, I've been blessed with a diamond in the rough. You know what I'm saying? Because he's been so focused on, you know, the community life and whatever he went through. You know, he wasn't focused on girls all his whole life, you know, versus me. You know, I think I'm cute and all this, so I done dated 1,000 people. You know, I'm just keeping it real. So it's like now at this point, you know, this is the second half of life. I'm 50. It's like, okay, do you think you need to sit down now, or what is it that you're still searching for that you feel you don't have? So I feel that, you know, it, through my prayer and everything, God is telling me that to learn, and my husband also, it's more facets to love than sex, you know. So I think at some point, you know, we still desire sex, and I want him to desire me sexually, like, on 10,000, you know what I'm saying? But with him, his mindset is not like that. He's seeing me for who I am. He's not seeing me for how I make him feel sexually. So, dang, that's like a blessing, but then it's a curse, man, because, you know, you know, I feel like I'm not old. I'm still young, you know, but I don't know. So that's a tough one right there when the other mate, either the man or the woman, because there's a lot of couples where, you know, the man has a high sex drive and the woman is like, man, I got to cook, clean, raise all these kids, you know, and do this. And now you want me to get in the bed and do all these, everything to you. I'm tired, you know. So it's a give or take, and you can go either way. So on our end, it's like I feel like the ball's in my court where I'm learning that I need to learn that there's other expressions of love and chemistry besides that. Although God made man for woman and woman for man, because, like, I'm your rib, right? And so, you know, be fruitful and multiply. We're not having no more kids, but still, you know, you're still supposed to please your mate. So, you know, that's just something for you guys to think about, too, as a couple. You know, I don't know how many people are experiencing that, but, you know, I can be transparent enough to say that, you know, that's my little issue over here. Not an issue, but something that I'm growing into, or am I growing out of? You know, that's the question. So, you know, it's been real tonight, I'll say that. And I thank everybody for listening. It is 9:01. I think I covered mostly everything, babe. What about you?
It was a good show.
You don't have any last comments?
No. Not really. You can tell them good night. I covered it the last time we was on. So
yeah, you did.
You knock it out tonight.
Yeah. So yeah, it's 9:02, and we'll let you guys go. But we're gonna play a couple more songs just so you know you guys can vibe and reflect on what we talked about tonight with each other. You know, it's always good. So here goes a little last tune for you.
baby, I've got so much love to give, and I want to give it all to you. No need to worry no more. Let's bring this day to a pleasant end. Girl, it's just me and you. I've waited all day long just to hold you in my arms, and it's exactly like I thought it would be. Me loving you, and you loving me. Close the door. Let me rub your back where you say it's sore. Come on, get closer and closer, so close to me. Let's get lost in each other.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll be here next Thursday, same time, same number, 8 to 9. Let's read a bit.
I can't explain it, kind of get this feeling like clouds. Yes, baby, been trying to say it, but I just don't quite know how. Oh, but now I'm hanging on strong to the hope that I see in your eyes every time you look my way.
Day.
Yeah, that's the sound of Jennifer Hudson right here on the Wise Words with One Gone Show. Hey, I'm going to let my people say a few words. LP, you there? LP?
Yeah, right here, man.
Okay, I'm just checking in, man, before we check out. We want some final words from you, my brother. You know, the COVID is strong out there, man, and I'm just asking y'all to stay prayed up and masked up. What say my partner pulling in? Pull up in the front yard.
Hey, folks, look like we got something going here, but the election, I've been down a little bit, you know. I'm trying to get my grill worked on, but everything is running smooth right now. I don't recommend you run out and get the virus shot. Don't let them rope you into it. Let's see what happens. We have to be careful as far as I'm concerned for a while because we don't know what Trump's got into place. They want to put all the judges in there that will work for them down the road, see? I don't know. Biden's going to have a hard road to hoe. I'm going to say that about that. But for those that voted, we did good. For the first-time voters, I thank you. And for the white folks that voted for Biden, I thank you, too. And the rest of the Hindus, Filipinos, Hispanics. Don't want to leave nobody out. So, that lets me know and feel that we can come together. We can do this. And that's all it takes. We're Americans. So, time, but that's what we are Americans. So, we need to do this the right way and from here on out. That's personal opinion. We're still giving out those, right?
Yeah, we appreciate yours, you know what I mean? There been some wise words from my partner. He done pulled up in the driveway. Let me go to my next caller before we get up out of here. Craig, you still there?
Hey.
What's happening, Craig?
Hey, man, how you doing? It's good, man. I mean, you know, Dr. Gijelman was saying, you know, we have to come together. The system is what the problem is. Us fighting against each other, that's not the solution. You know, the solution is that we come together and we approach this together. So under locking arms, man, nobody can get through it.
You said a lot when you said that.
Yeah, man.
So,
go
ahead. Don't be scared to speak.
Yeah, you know, I do have a lot to share, man. I just don't know where to start with everything, you know. It's just the most important thing is just to remember that when you're going outside of yourself, meaning you're looking at your two eyeballs outside of yourself where other people are, you know, it's not about you when you're out there with these people. It's not about you. If you bring it back to you, then you're not outside doing anything. Man. You're just, you know, but when you get outside of yourself, you're not making it about you. So you're out here doing something, and that's where God's doing an amazing, wonderful work.
Amen, and brother. Amen.
Yeah. So, and since that's true, right? That's true love right there, right? You're walking in true love, right? That's God's love for you. It's true. So if that's true, and it is, then his love for you and everyone is boundless and immeasurable. So that's eternal love. So if you're talking against the truth, if you're speaking against that, like that's not a reality for you, then you're missing the whole mark and you're not in fellowship with God in that relationship. You're outside of that relationship. And when God shows you what you're doing one day, you're going to go, oh my God. And you'll never go back to that way of doing things again because you're over here now. It's different.
You know, I appreciate y'all, brothers, man. Got to go tonight, man. The wife has called me on in, and I got to go. So I appreciate you, Craig. I appreciate Aunt Lily, Miss Isha, Tanya, LP, and all the rest of you listeners. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio, and we out of here. God bless y'all.